You might be surprised to know that us priests don't usually get marching orders on what our homilies should be about. Perhaps once or twice a year, the bishop will give us a theme or a topic that he'd like us to talk about. But to my recollection, there's only one day, one liturgy a year, where the universal church says, "This is what you preach about." And that day is today, Holy Thursday. And that liturgy is now. It is the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Every time we celebrate Holy Mass together, we commemorate the Last Supper. But tonight, we do so in a more intentional and particular way. Tonight, we relive the Last Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ and truly participate in that Last Supper as we do at every Mass, but as I said, more intentionally. We participate through the power of Jesus Christ and His church that makes these events present even now. The same events of 2,000 years ago, even now. And our Holy Mother, the Church, has asked us to meditate and shed light on three particular things this night. First, the institution of the Most Holy Eucharist, which happened on this very night at the Last Supper. The second, the priestly order, which was established by Christ Himself on this very night all those years ago. And finally, the commandment of our Lord about fraternal charity, which He made it possible for us to actually fulfill when He gave us His body and blood this night so many years ago. The Eucharist is considered a sacrament of initiation. And it sometimes strikes us a bit odd that the Eucharist is a sacrament of initiation. But if we consider the reason, what the Eucharist is it is a renewal of our baptismal covenant, which was strengthened at our confirmation. In those ancient cultures in which God formed His chosen people, and in the traditions which we have taken up as our own in this Holy Catholic Church, baptism, we believe, truly makes us a part of God's family. Because when we make that baptismal covenant, it is no mere promise. A covenant cannot be broken. In our tradition, a covenant is an oath that joins two families together in one inseparable bond. And that is why the marriage vows that we witness at weddings are covenants between the spouses, because they join two people into one family, one that cannot be broken. In fact, in those ancient cultures, the violation of a covenant bond resulted in the death of the party who broke the covenant, because it was such a serious commitment. And without going too much further down that rabbit hole, as you all know I love to do, the Eucharist reminds us of the importance of a covenant and the dignity with which God treats us, because the Eucharist helps us remember that we are a part of our family, of His family. And the Eucharist is a sign of God's respect for our decision to join Him, giving us Himself so that we can be closer to Him. The Eucharist renews that covenant bond by strengthening the love of God within our hearts. It joins us together as one Christian family, adopted brothers and sisters of one another and of Jesus Christ as well, through that unbreakable covenant we made at our baptisms or that someone made through us. And through that covenant, we became a part of God's family. And because the Eucharist is a renewal of that covenant, it renews in us and reminds us of our baptismal promises. Do you reject Satan and all his empty works and all his empty show? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, and the one holy Catholic and apostolic church? Do you promise to turn away from sin and towards God, in summary? When we break that covenant by our own sin, we have turned away from our family. And so when we receive the Eucharist in such a state, in a state where we've separated ourselves from God and our Christian family, we've made ourselves into liars, and we deepen that eternal peril in which we have placed our souls. But that's obviously not what our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be doing. That's not why he gave us that gift. He did not give us that gift to condemn us. He gave us his body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist, and he desired that food from heaven, from God himself, to be a strength for us and to unify us as that one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And in order to do that, to give us that gift from heaven, Jesus set his apostles apart from the rest of his disciples, and he gave them, beginning with St. Peter, the power of the keys. The apostles, in union with St. Peter, what they said, it was bound both in heaven and on earth. And that power given by Jesus Christ himself allowed these men to consecrate bread and wine, calling down the power of Almighty God to transform them fully into our Lord, into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. This power also enabled his apostles to forgive our sins, to forgive sins as they had seen their master and their teacher, their Rabboni, do. This power to forgive sins was a critical gift to the apostles, because that forgiveness of sins and sacramental confession restores the family relationship that is lost through sin. And it restores that relationship with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And it makes us those fitting vessels so that we might receive the glorious power of God into our bodies in the Eucharist and allow it to transform us. Our bishops are descendants of those apostles. The power given to them by Jesus Christ passed down through the ages from one bishop to another in an unbroken chain, which is why we can claim as the Roman Catholic Church to be founded on a holy and apostolic foundation. Over time, the bishops and their successors realized they could not provide themselves for all the people's needs, like Moses in the Old Testament during the Exodus. And so the bishops gave some of this power, the power to forgive sins and to transform bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, to the holy priests of the church. We priests, Father Drew, Father J.D., and myself, and Deacon Ty, God willing, in a month, right? And we need more because it's been so hard to find subs for my vacations, so you're on the hook, buddy. But we priests, joined to the mission of our bishop, have one job. And our job is to bring Jesus Christ's people back to him. Our job means that we must give the people of God the mercy and the love and the grace that he desires from the beginning of creation for each of us to receive. Our job means that we are to bring the children of God back to their heavenly Father. In summary, our job is to get every single person on this earth to heaven. And so we need help. And this is where you all come in, because we would be in a sorry state if we did not have your help, the assistance of our Christian faithful. Because you can go the places we cannot go. You can speak to the people we don't even need spoken to. And in living out your daily life through the world, you represent to God. You represent God to all around you in a way that we simply are unable. That command of fraternal charity, to love your neighbor as yourself, reminds us not just of our call to bring people to God, but our obligation to bring them to God. Remember that charity, love, it is not a feeling, despite what society tells us. To love someone is a decision that we make. And that decision is that we decide to make the salvation of another our priority. This is most exemplified in the bond of marriage, where a man and a woman pledge themselves to one another in that covenantal bond, and they have exactly one goal in that marriage. Their job is to get their spouse to heaven above all else. And each and every one of us must show this charity in our own lives. This doesn't mean that I'm nice and I let people walk all over me. That is not love. Love means, yes, I treat all the people I meet with compassion. And yes, I treat all the people I meet with respect. But it also means that I treat all the people I meet as fully capable of making their own decisions and recognizing that sometimes they are going to make the wrong ones. It also means that sometimes someone will speak so egregiously wrong that I am compelled from the depths of my heart to correct them. Kindly, yes, but also firmly. And why? Because their eternal salvation depends on it. It means recognizing that I will be a stumbling block in a society, in an obstacle to the society around me, because as a Christian, I represent Jesus Christ in the world. And Jesus Christ is hated by this world, and he's hated by the Lord of this world, Satan, and he's hated by all of the demonic minions of Satan who exercise their power in an attempt that has already failed to usurp the power of God and to drag God's children down to hell with them so that we can all be miserable. But that is not what we are called to do. We are called to heaven. Today in Pope Francis's homily for the Chrism Mass, he highlighted three of the major struggles that we find amongst priests and in our society in general in his homily. And these three things, when we recognize them, can help us to be that sign of God's love for the world so that we can stand firmly against these corruptions of the truth. He spoke of spiritual worldliness, which is this proposal of life and culture and of appearances. We see what other people have in this world and think that that means they are close to God. Sometimes we hear this called the gospel of prosperity. To fight against this, we must always seek humility in remembering that we have one person whose opinion matters to us, and that is Almighty God's. And we must always remember that every moment. He cautioned against what he calls the pragmatism of numbers, hiding in statistics and things like that. What it does is it depersonalizes the people around us. It doesn't mean we completely ignore them, but it means recognizing that the person in front of us is more important than whatever number we might come up with. Pope Francis specifically said that the remedy to this is to forget ourself and let God take the lead in anything that we do, because it's not about the numbers. And finally, Pope Francis criticized what he calls an idol of functionalism, something that aims at efficiency and what you do and putting that as what matters most. Because all that does, he says, is feed our own egos. We set aside what is important, which is the worship of God and following Him, and take pleasure in the efficiency of whatever it is that we are doing. Pope Francis says that these things together eliminate hope. They eliminate hope. And we can't stand for that. Because as Christians, that hope in the resurrection is one of our most important treasures. And so tonight, let us celebrate together that great gift of the Eucharist, an antidote to so many of these ills of the world, and the gift of the priests that Christ has given us, and the priests who are here to bring all of us home. Let us remember the strength he gave us at our baptism and at our confirmation so that we might act with true charity and love to all of the people around us. Tonight, as we receive our Lord, who transforms everything and every person that he touches, let us allow him to transform us into true children of our Heavenly Father. Amen.